If you're an artist type who lives in a city like Seattle, or in a city, but especially one of the coast cities, it is just so much easier to toe the Democratic Party line and go along with whatever it is our dear leader wants us to believe in.
Hi, I'm Zach Weissmuller for Reason TV. I'm here with Peter Bagg, cartoonist, author, and Reason contributor. His latest graphic novel is available for purchase now. It's called Reset. And his next work, Peter Bagg's Other Stuff, comes out this May. Peter, thank you very much for joining us.
Sure.
Reset, which is a very funny, entertaining, sometimes dark work, follows the story of a washed-up comedian and actor named Guy Krause, who stumbles into a virtual reality experiment, which allows him to kind of redo certain parts of his life. The basic premise has kind of been explored before in film and literature, but your twist on it is he doesn't get very far at times. He gets stopped by technological and human obstacles. What inspired you to tell this story?
Originally with the story, I wanted to delve into pure fantasy. The age-old and played-out idea of reliving your life, going back in time and doing things over again. So I started from that point, and as I worked out the idea in my head, I had a very difficult time staying in the world of fantasy. It just wasn't working for me. I would get a bit bored and restless. It seemed a little too loosey-goosey. I guess I need those boundaries that we call reality.
Not to give too much away, but the experimenters have some very specific ideas about how they want the virtual reality technology to be used. And our character Guy doesn't really follow that path. He does some things that they find repellent and even disgusting.
Right.
Do you find parallels to this in the real world? I mean, it seems like often individuals end up using technology in a way that's different than what the creators intended.
Well, this doesn't stray too far from what happens in the book. What you mentioned as the disgusting part is how often somebody does develop any kind of new technology. One of the first things it's used, if not the first thing it's used for, is pornography. That happens time and time again. And then it becomes almost synonymous with pornography, whatever this technology is. And then its other uses tend to stem from there. But that's like one of the driving forces for it, which I doubt is ever in the minds of the people who came up with the technology that's being used.
I mean, do you think it's fair for someone who creates a certain kind of technology to feel disgusted or repelled by how people end up using the actual technology?
For their own sake, they should approach the whole thing with an open mind. Of course, they have the right to be upset or disappointed. But yeah, the wisest thing to do is to have a completely open mind and be ready for any results. And they might have gotten completely different. In fact, I'm sure they would have gotten very different results from a different test subject, someone more pliable, perhaps, because the main character here, he's anything but pliable.
For Reason Magazine, you draw politically themed stories where there's often a very specific point or message you're trying to get across. When you're trying to tell a story like Reset, I read a lot of anti-authoritarian, individualist-type themes.
Right.
How much of that is you're consciously trying to get across a political or social commentary, and how much is just kind of a natural outgrowth of your personality as a storyteller?
Well, with a story like Reset, I'm trying first and foremost to entertain and engage the reader. So the last thing you want to do in that regard is to preach or be too heavy-handed and impose your political opinions on the reader, because chances are the reader won't agree and they'll just be turned off and annoyed. But of course, my political opinions and my worldview go hand in hand. For example, in this story Reset, the extent to which the government is involved with this otherwise private business concern, the mixture of the two, it's just, in my opinion, you know, private public partnerships always end in disaster. It's like another word for boondoggle. Being lazy. That's just not lazy thinking on my part. That just almost always turns out to be the case. And of course that wasn't my point to illustrate that in the story. But of course, that comes across in the story, just because to me that's as natural as you know, the sun rising in the east.
The comics world and publishing more broadly have seen their fair share of resets in the course of your career, which stretches back to the 1980s. Have revolutions in production technology improved product or had the opposite effect? And how has it affected you?
Most radical change in the last 10, 20 years is the internet. And on one hand, especially as consumers, it's been fantastic. It's a godsend. You have the world at your fingertips, and you're, other than once you've paid for the infrastructure, you pretty much can get almost anything for free, or almost free. But as a producer of art, that's a real conundrum, because revenue streams have dried up. People give me all kinds of suggestions about how you could exploit the internet, or someone like me could exploit the internet to make money. But so far, everything that's been suggested to me, just for my sake, have not been very practical. They really don't work. So that's something that I still have to figure out, and soon.
How has the internet affected comics specifically? Do you think that they've improved in recent years, or gotten worse, or no effect at all?
Well, I operate in the world of what's generally called alternative comics, which pretty much means anything that isn't genre fiction, that's not superheroes. I've noticed there's more people doing that than ever before, and you see a wide variety of artists and approaches that seems to be exploding. And I can't help but think the internet has something to do with that, because when I started out in the early 80s, it was impossible for my work to be seen, let alone sold, to most people in the country. You had to live in very specific places to even be aware of the fact that comics like mine existed.
You're rare among alternative artists. Not only that you're not a traditional liberal, but you're not a reactionary conservative either, like Al Capp, the creator of Little Abner, whose biography you actually recently reviewed in Reason magazine. You are a hardcore libertarian in favor of legalizing drugs, immigration, lower taxes. So what's wrong with you? Or what is wrong with the creative class that is so doctrinaire left?
If you're an artist type who lives in a city like Seattle, or in a city, but especially one of the coast cities, it is just so much easier to toe the Democratic Party line and go along with whatever it is our dear leader wants us to believe in. Life just goes along that much more smoother. It's a way of not making waves. Rand Paul's filibuster, the whole point of which, ultimately, was to get the Obama administration to tell us exactly what their plans are as far as killing American citizens on American soil. I don't think they should be killing non-combatants anywhere ever, but and it seems like such a simple situation to understand, and still I'm flabbergasted at how many people can't get past that fact that Rand Paul's a Republican, and how they all of a sudden they sound like George Bush.
Peter Bagg, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Sure, thank you.